And good afternoon. Welcome to another episode here on Gippsland FM with The Sound of Movies. I'm your host, Ashley Winsor, with my good friend here.
And Paul Brook.
And today we're going to be going through a couple of films, American films today. And the first one we're going to go with is Romeo and Juliet. It's a 1996 film. And I know, Anne, you have seen this one.
Yeah. And so it's got an Aussie content there because it was Baz Luhrmann that directed it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He did a good job on this. I really like this version, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay, so, like, I've had problems in high school understanding Shakespeare, so because of those, my impression of Shakespeare's work and my lack of understanding, I actually haven't seen this one.
Yeah, that would be a common thing, I think. But it's got great music, and that's what we're here for, the music, and it was good. DiCaprio and Claire Danes. Yeah, I thought it was a really good movie.
And for those like myself who have not seen this one is Romeo and Juliet, 1996 American romantic drama film adaptation of William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Directed by, as Anne said, Baz Luhrmann, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes. And keep in mind, they're a lot younger than they are now.
You said 97, was it?
96.
Right.
And they're both the leads in the role. The film's abridged modernisation of Shakespeare's play, while it retains the original Shakespearean dialogue. The Montagues and the Capulets are represented in a warring mafia empires with legitimate business fronts, and swords are replaced with guns with brand names such as dagger and sword. So what do you reckon? Go to the first one?
Yeah.
All right. The first one is by Garbage, and this is titled Number One Crush, and this is from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack here on Gippsland FM.
I've been dying just to
And that's Garbage's number one crush. And that's from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack here on Gippsland FM. And if you've just joined us, you're listening to The Sound of Movies. I'm your host, Ashley Windsor, with my good friend here.
And Paul Brook.
And we are working our way through the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack, a 1996 American film by Baz Luhrmann, the Australian director. And actually, Anne was just telling me just during that song that, well, what were you saying about Baz Luhrmann's work?
I don't like most of it. Like, I found a lot of it is a bit over the top, you know. It's a bit too messy. And, I mean, yeah, he's skilled, but it's just kind of a bit crazy-ish. However, I really liked this one, and Strictly Ballroom was pretty good too.
Yeah, yeah, Strictly Ballroom. And I saw Australia, but as I remember, even as I was watching, I remember thinking, because I was watching the lighting of the actors, and I'm like, did they ever film outside? Or did they only film in a studio?
Oh, yeah.
There was so much green screen work in that.
Yep.
And it really bothered me as I was watching it. Mm. So I was like, oh, cool. It
detracted, in other words.
But yeah. I do want to make clear that you do recommend this film.
I do. And I mean,
Romeo and Juliet.
And I mean, Baz Luhrmann is definitely creative, you know. But yes. It's just like the Great Gatsby was just way over the top for me.
Yeah.
You know? And that looks really studio too, I thought.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, because I didn't bother with that one.
Yeah.
Or Moulin Rouge, because that sort of film just does not appeal to me.
Mm.
Because it just looked like a musical.
Yeah, and you're not into musicals.
And the other musicals I do like, I've played on the show, The Wanderers and in Greece.
Yeah, just a few of them.
And actually, Annie I did like too, but I haven't got the soundtrack to this, so I haven't played that one. But yeah, his other films, I'm like, no.
Willy Wonka, you like that one?
That's the other one.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, there's only a small handful of them that I do like.
Well, he does do this well, though. You know, the music is great in this, and it's contemporary, so I would recommend people watch it.
Like, even that song we just played, I really like that one. There's actually quite a few Garbage songs I do like.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this one, the first, say, 20 seconds or so, it's a bit slow, but then after that, it starts to pick up. And I actually quite enjoy that tune we just played.
Yeah, Shirley Manson.
So that was Garbage. Number one, Crush by Garbage, the one we just played.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll go to the next one. It's actually two little tunes, Verona and the Montague Boys, and it's from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack, Gippsland FM. From the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack here on Gippsland FM. That's the 1996 version, because if you look it up online, there's actually many, many versions of Romeo and Juliet in film format. So this 1996 Baz Luhrmann version, filmed in Mexico and the United States. And that one was O Verona and the Montague Boys. So it was actually two tracks just combined into one long one there because they were both actually quite short. So it's only 2.5 minutes for the two of them. So okay. That's why I wanted to include them both. But with regards to Romeo and Juliet, some of the character names are also changed. Lord and Lady Montague and Lord and Lady Capulet are given first names as opposed to Shakespearean's original, where their first names are never mentioned. So Friar Lawrence becomes Father Lawrence. Prince Aeschylus is renamed Captain Prince. Does that sound about right?
I think.
You can't remember?
No.
There's also no Friar John, who was in the original play. Also, some of the characters are switched from the one family to the other. And in the original, Gregory and Samson are Capulets, but in the film, they're Montagues, Abra and Petruchio. See, this is why I don't like Shakespeare.
Names.
I can't even pronounce their names, let alone understand the story or his language. But
which is a shame. That's a barrier.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But the music helps. It just sets the scene. There's two warring families. Two warring families. And, of course, there's the love story. And
right.
There's a curse on both their houses because of all the fighting. And I won't give away the deadline, the punchline. But I think we know what happens.
Yeah. All right. Should we go to the next one?
Uh-huh.
All right. This one's titled Local God by Everclear here on Gippsland FM. It's from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack.
We'll be right back.
And that one is Local God by Everclear here on Gippsland FM. And that's from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack, a 1996 Baz Luhrmann film. And Anne was just mentioning earlier that she liked it.
Yeah, I did.
And that I have not actually seen it. And I've actually, well, there's two reasons. It's because I'm not big on Baz Luhrmann, but that's probably not really why. The main thing was because I wasn't very good at Shakespeare in high school.
You don't need to be, though.
I didn't understand it. I don't understand the language. I had a lot of difficulty with it in high school.
But most people do. You know, it's been sort of alienated from our experience. They're basically good stories. They're about human interest, about human nature.
Yeah.
But the Academy's hijacked them. So, you know, the language has become a barrier and it shouldn't be that way. And that's why it is actually good to have them in movies and contemporary music and everything, because it helps people see, hey, you know, we've all experienced similar stuff, you know, maybe not quite to the extent of the families warring so bitterly. However, we all have, you know, there's ruthlessness in people's lives, or tragedy, or love, or happiness, whatever. Shakespeare does all that. They're good stories.
Yeah. All right. Well, after the success of Strictly Ballroom, Baz Luhrmann took some time over deciding on what he was going to do next. And this was the one he did next. But there was a quote that I found by Baz Luhrmann. Our philosophy has always been that we think of what we need in our life. Choose something creative that will make the life fulfilling, and then follow that road. Now, with Romeo and Juliet, what I wanted to do was look at the way in which Shakespeare might make a movie in one of his plays if he was a director. So how would he make it? We don't know a lot about Shakespeare, but we do know he would make a movie. He was a player. We know about the Elizabethan. Yes.
That's okay.
It's difficult for me.
You said language is a bit of a difficulty, so that's all right.
Stage, and then he was a player for 3,000 drunken punters, from the street sweepers to the Queen of England. And his competition was bear baiting and prostitution. So he was a relentless entertainer and a user of incredible devices and theatrical tricks to ultimately create something of meaning and to convey a story. And that was what we wanted to do. So that's what Baz Luhrmann said about Romeo and Juliet. So I don't know. I guess that's what he did manage to achieve.
Yeah, and that's why it's a shame that people aren't involved with Shakespeare, because he was actually writing for the people. You know, he was one of the people. Yes, also the courts used his services. However, he really was telling the stories for the people.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll go to the next one. And this is this tune is for the film. It was titled The Gas Scene. I guess that's when there's a gas scene in the film.
I'd say so.
It's from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack here on Gippsland FM.
I hate the word, as I hate hell, all Montagues, and thee.
From the gas station scene in Romeo and Juliet 1996 version, Baz Luhrmann film. And I just wanted to include that one because it had a kind of a cool sound to it, like sort of a western-y type sound.
Kind of reminded me of Tarantino's making, you know, just those different sort of things that he throws in.
Yeah.
A bit of variety there.
Ah, good.
That was John Leguizamo, or however you pronounce his name, the guy that played Mercutio, I think.
Yeah, so I remember seeing him in, it was a Steven Seagal film. Mm-hmm. They have to hijack it, or they have to retake possession of a 747 that... Air Force One or something like that. And
completely different sort of character.
He's like a Special Forces guy.
I really, really like him a lot. He was also in Moulin Rouge. He played Toulouse-Lautrec, so tiny, okay. You know, really, he was deformed, you know. He was so good. He's a really good actor.
And he's in another one called The Pest.
Yeah.
And he's a really annoying character in that one. So
I can see him playing all those things.
He's had quite a wide variety.
Yeah, he's great.
The Pest is something I don't think many people know about that one.
No, I hadn't heard of it.
Oh, it's... He's an annoying character. Yeah. I don't know how else to explain it.
Well, there was also the one where they're in drag, him and Patrick Swayze. And
oh, yeah.
It's around the same time.
2-1 Foo, Thanks for Everything. Yep. I can't remember the full title, but it was quite a long title.
This is a great role for him, though. He did this really well.
Okay. All right. Baz Luhrmann also obtained funds from Fox to do a workshop and shoot some teaser footage in Sydney. So Leonardo DiCaprio agreed to pay his own expenses to fly to Sydney and be part of it. So once Fox saw the footage of the fight scene, they agreed to support it.
Hmm.
So that's pretty cool. Hmm. He actually started off himself and see if they can get the ball rolling. All development was done in Australia, with pre-production in Australia and Canada, and post-production in Australia, which is the editing process. While parts of the film were filmed in Miami, and most of the film was shot in Mexico City and Veracruz.
Okay.
So there you go. All right, we've got the next one. Next one is You and Me's song by The Wannabes. No, sorry, The Wannadies. It's from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack here on Gippsland FM. Always when we fight, I try to make you love, till everything's forgotten. I know you hate that. Kiss you once or twice, and everything's forgotten. I know you hate that. I love you, Sunday sun. The week's not yet begun, and everything is quiet, and it's always is You and Me's song by The Wannadies, and that's from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack here on Gippsland FM. And if you've just joined us, you're listening to The Sound of Movies. I'm your host, Ashley Winsor, with my good friend here.
Anne Pulbrook.
And we're working our way through the Romeo and Juliet 1996 film. It's a Baz Luhrmann film. And so far, some of the tunes have been pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a good album.
And some of them pretty original, actually. Yeah, that's right. It's Volume 1 and Volume 2 at the same time, and alternating between the two. And I think Volume 2 is more segments from the film, and then Volume 1's just some of the tunes that they use.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of other good ones coming up that a lot of people are probably familiar with. But we'll jump on to the next one. This one quickly is titled A Challenge. And this one's from the Volume 2 of Romeo and Juliet here on Gippsland FM. That's a challenge from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack here on Gippsland FM. And you're listening to The Sound of Movies. I'm your host, Ashley Winsor. I'm with my good friend here,
Ample Brook.
And we're working our way through the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack.
How good is the 90s music?
Oh, no, it's pretty good. Some of it's really good. All right, we'll have a quick word from our sponsors and then we'll be right back.
Summer weather conditions can cause power outages. You can ensure you are prepared by following the simple steps that are outlined in the Victorian Government's Power Outage Guide. If you lose power, contact your electricity distribution business on the Faults and Emergencies number on your most recent electricity bill. Make sure you are prepared. For your power outage guide and more information, visit energyandresources.vic.gov.au. Written and authorised by the Victorian Government, Melbourne.
Station sponsors.
Looking for a smile, great music you will find at 104.7.
And welcome back to The Sound of Movies here on Gippsland FM. I'm your host, Ashley Winsor, with my good friend here.
And Paul Brook.
And we're working our way through the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack. We've only got a few more tracks to go for Romeo and Juliet, but I think these two in particular actually will be quite familiar with most of the listeners out there because they got quite a bit of airplay back in the 90s when this film came out.
Mm-hmm.
So should we start with the first one?
Okay.
All right, this one is Young Hearts Run Free by Kim Mazel here on Gippsland FM from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack.
Yeah.
and that's Young Hearts Run Free by Kim Mazel here on Gippsland FM. That's from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack. And if you've just joined us, you're listening to The Sound of Movies. I'm your host, Ashley Winsor, with my good friend here.
And Paul Brook.
And we're working our way through the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack. We've only got a couple of tracks to go, but so far some of the tunes have been pretty cool.
Yeah, brings back images of good film clips made from the movie.
You know?
It was quite a good movie.
Well, I have to take your word on that since I haven't seen it. But, yeah, no, I trust your judgment.
Thank you.
The film Romeo and Juliet premiered on November 1st, 1996 in the United States and Canada in 1,276 theatres and grossed $11.1 million in its opening weekend, ranking number one at the box office. Not a bad opening weekend. It's pretty good.
Yep.
Went on to gross $46.3 million in North America and with a worldwide total gross of $147,554,998.
A lot of money.
So it was quite a successful film. Mm. So good on them. Well done.
I think, was it this one they got the Academy for or Moulin Rouge with the costumes?
Moulin Rouge, I think, cleaned up. Yep. I know they did get quite a few awards for this one, but I didn't actually note them down because I don't know a lot about this film. I didn't want to go too much into detail about the awards.
Okay,
but they did do relatively well in the awards as well.
Yeah, he does stage things rather well in that way.
Yeah, so we'll go to the next one. And this one is Mantua from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack here on Gippsland FM.
Body rests in chapel monument in a remote part where the angels live. I saw her laid low. Pardon me for bringing these ill news.
I defy you, stars!
Mantua from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack. I just wanted to kind of include that one, just a few lines from the film, because I've only got one more song for this film, and I know everyone's going to be familiar with this one, and so I wanted to save this one till last. And I actually bought this album many, many years ago for this particular song.
It's a great song.
It is Love Fool by The Cardigans here on Gippsland FM from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack.
Yeah.
That's Love Fool by The Cardigans. And that one is from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack here on Gippsland FM. And if you've just joined us, you're listening to The Sound of Movies. I'm your host, Ashley Winsor, with my good friend here.
Anne Pulbrook.
And we're working our way through we just finished wrapping up Romeo and Juliet, 1996 Baz Luhrmann film, and with Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes. Now, we're moving on to
Pete Postlewaite. I had to mention him. He's a great actor. He died not long ago.
Who's that one?
Recently. Pete Postlewaite. He played the apothecary in that version. He's really good.
All right. So there you go. Mm. I didn't even know that either.
Just thought I will pop that in.
Yeah. No, that's cool. The next film we got for you, it's a 1998 film, another American film, quite different from Romeo and Juliet. And if there are any baby boomers out there, you'll be familiar with this tune. That's from Psycho, for those who are not familiar with that tune. That is from the 1998 version. It was a remake of the original Psycho. But the only difference between that tune and the one in the original Psycho, this was re-recorded by Danny Elfman. It's because the original was recorded in mono and they needed it in stereo for the new sound systems in the cinema. So they recreated it. Mm-hmm. Pretty much tune for note for note.
Right. Okay. So we're out of the romantic genre, obviously.
Yeah.
Smack bang into horror.
And for those not familiar with Psycho, it's a 1998 American horror film produced and directed by Gus Van Sant for Universal Pictures, a remake of the 1960 film directed by, of course, Alfred Hitchcock, who's created quite a lot of good stuff, like mm-hmm. Vertigo and North by Northwest, yes. The Birds. He's made some great stuff, and he's actually did a lot of great camera angles. He just did a lot of cool things that you actually see in a lot of films today.
Those techniques, yeah.
Yeah. And even when we watched Road Games,
yes.
The guy that directed that, the Aussie guy, had studied Alfred Hitchcock at University USC in California. And he even brought him in.
He invited Alfred Hitchcock
at university back in the 60s to come speak at university. And
wow. Opportunity.
And when we watched Road Games, you could see it.
Yeah.
And in the shots that he used.
That was a good movie. It was about a 1977 Australian movie starring Stacey Keach, wasn't it? And Janet Leigh's daughter, What's her name again? Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis from the original Halloweens. And that's, she was the Scream Queen at the time.
And, of course, Janet Leigh was in the original Psycho.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so connections.
There you go. So even though this is this version's in colour, it features a different cast and set in the present day, 1998, Phoenix in California, it's a closer to shot-for-shot remake than most remakes of this film, often copying Hitchcock's camera movements and editing. And Joseph Stefano's script is mostly carried over. So Bernard Herrmann's musical score is reused as well. That's the original one, mm-hmm. what we like, the first one we just heard. And although under a new arrangement by Danny Elfman, it was recorded in stereo for obvious reasons, because mono just wouldn't work in a modern-day cinema.
And Danny Elfman does the music for The Simpsons, I think.
Oh, does he?
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a lot of movie music, yep.
Righto. Some changes are introduced to account for advances in technology since the original film and also to make content more explicit. The murder sequences are also intercut with surreal dream images, and the film was both a commercial and critical failure.
Ah, bugger.
Now, when I saw it at the cinema, I saw it in Prescott, Arizona, when it came out that year, because I was still at uni. And I do remember going and seeing it. And I was thinking, oh, my goodness, this is a scene-for-scene remake. I thought maybe they'd give it a different angle. Like, the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is completely different from the original. However, I much prefer the original.
Mm-hmm.
And for those out there who haven't seen it, they're quite disturbing films. So I don't recommend you see them if you don't like that sort of stuff.
I haven't seen them.
But, yeah, it took a completely different angle. And the remake of Friday the 13th is the same thing. They completely changed the bad guy, Jason, and he's actually an intelligent character, unlike in the original ones, he's a bit of a dummy.
Yep.
And so I thought, okay, yeah, it's okay. They'll sort of give it a different angle. But no, it was almost frame for frame, line for line. And it's the only time I've seen young teenagers walk out of a film, not because it's gruesome or scary, but because they were bored out of their mind.
Wow.
Because it was a 1960s film in the late 1990s, and they haven't got the capacity to just sit there and watch it and take it in and let it build up. They're just like, dude, nothing's happened, man. I'm leaving.
So the suspense doesn't work on them. It's much faster pace.
Yeah. So, and that's the only time I've seen that many people walk out of pure boredom.
What a shame.
Yeah, it is. But that's what happened.
It was Vince Vaughn, you were saying? Was
Yeah, he's in this one. Yeah, he plays the Bates character.
Okay. Norman Interesting Bates. Choice.
Yeah, actually, he wasn't as well known then. I think it was this one that sort of started his career.
Okay.
In a more positive direction. Because, you know, to this day, obviously, we still see him quite often.
Mm. And Gus Van Sant, he's done a lot of good stuff too, like To Die For. That was Matt Dillon, Nicole Kidman.
Yep. That's
kind of black, very black, perhaps comedy.
Yeah, you might
call it.
All right, we'll go to the next one. Mm-hmm. This one's Living Dead Girl by Rob Zombie, who in himself is a great horror director.
Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead?
make you kill.
And that one's Living Dead Girl by Rob Zombie, and that's from the Psycho soundtrack 1998 remake with Vince Vaughn. In fact, the next track I've got for you, we'll jump right into that one right away, is, it's actually got a bit of Vince Vaughn in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's titled Once Is Not Enough by Howie B, and we'll jump straight into that one right now.
Will you have dinner with me? I was just about to myself, nothing special, just sandwiches and milk, but I'd like it very much if you came to the house. The kitchen's awful homey. The kitchen's awful homey. The kitchen's awful homey. Nothing special, just sandwiches and milk, but I'd like it very much if they came to the house. I don't set a fancy table, but the kitchen's awful homey. The kitchen's awful homey. The kitchen's awful homey.
She's hungry and it's raining out.
Go a little mad sometimes.
Sometimes only one time can be enough.
That one is Once Is Not Enough by Howie B. That's from the Psycho soundtrack, a 1998 remake of the original Psycho, an Alfred Hitchcock film. And it's actually not too bad. I did enjoy it, but it can't be the original.
Mm.
The originals are always hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, it came from his brain, didn't it? So it can't be quite the same.
Yeah. The audio commentary track come with a DVD, release of the film and making of the documentary Psychopath. Apparently it's on the DVD. It provides numerous details about where the film strived to remain faithful to the original and where it diverged. Some changes are pervasive. As the film opens, it made clear that it's set in the late 1990s, so minor changes are made throughout the dialogue to reflect the current time frame that the film's set in. For example, all references to the money are updated and how much Marion steals from her boss and how much the car costs and how much the hotel room costs, things like that.
Just to make it work.
To make it believable. Yeah. That'll be $15 a night. Like, yeah, in 1960, sure.
Yeah. Not now.
So, yeah. So there are some little minor changes like that. But, all right, we'll jump on the next one. And this is actually a short one. And this is a very familiar tune. If you haven't seen Psycho, you've probably heard this before.
Thank you.
How creepy is that?
Yes, it is.
That's an awesome tune. But I remember my mum saying years ago, she was saying that after I saw Psycho, I couldn't have a shower for months.
Oh, really?
I had to have a bath or something,
oh,
you know.
No. I also remember stories of it being played at the drive-in, and apparently my uncle, when it got really scary and everybody was sitting there terrified, he beeped the horn.
What a troublemaker.
Yeah. There's a lot of Psycho stories.
Oh, no. I remember that happened when I went to see Scream at the cinema.
Yeah.
There was someone in the audience somewhere, because I went one Saturday night, so it was packed when it was a new film. And someone else in there had already seen it. And so they'd always go, right before the part when and make people jump.
I've got my own Scream story. I know we're filling the gaps here, but when I went to see Scream, the session beforehand, it must have been a Saturday afternoon, I didn't sit over the other side, but I heard there was a wet seat over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
Nah. Someone spilled their drink, right?
I guess.
Oh, dear, yeah. For those that haven't seen Scream, that's a Wes Craven film. He himself is actually quite an interesting character. His first film was Last House on the Left, which was quite a controversial film. And he copped a lot of flack for it. And in a documentary I saw, he was saying that, don't blame me. I'm actually making a film about stuff that happens in real life. Where do you think I get my ideas from? So blame the people that did it in real life, not me. I'm just showing you what's happening out there. Yeah,
that's even more macabre, isn't it, to think of it like that?
Yeah, even his Nightmare on Elm Street were semi-based on true stories. Like, there were people, I think there were some kids in Haiti, they didn't want to go to sleep because they were worried about dying in their sleep. And then he saw this little article, and from that sparked the whole, his thought and process for the whole Nightmare on Elm Street series.
That's even scarier to think that there's some truth there.
Loosely based on true story, and then he's taken it with creative license and then give it another level. All right, we'll end, have to say goodbye. We'll be back again next week, so thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this show. We wanted to end on a more happier note.
With the Munsters.
The Munsters.
Okay.
So we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.